The second scripture lesson this morning is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of Jesus Christ, that all you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. God, we thank you for your word. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, I thank you for these words that come from your holy book, for your lectionary choosing these words for this day. Give me the wisdom and the courage to preach this text in a way that all ears might be opened, that all hearts might be yours, and that all might feel full of the power to follow where you would have us go. In the holy name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. So when I was younger, there was this Burger King commercial, this ad campaign that was all about how you could have it your way. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. I can't believe I remember even that much of it, But you remember that? Like, you know, you could go into Burger King and ask for exactly what you wanted, and that was a big deal because all the fast food places at that time, you had to order it the way that they made it. It was already sitting up there, and you took what you got, and that was that. But Burger King, you could have it your way. Well, now, in 21st century America, that is the norm. You can go Chipotle and get a burrito or a bowl and tell them, yes, I want double beans, or I don't want guacamole, or I do. You can go to Sweetgreen. You can go to Naf Naf. You can go to any number of places, including your own home, and have it your way. And that is what we have become used to. That is what we expect in every aspect of our life, that I'm going to go where I'm going to go, and I'm going to get what I want, because that's the way the world works today. That is certainly not the way the world worked in first century Israel, and certainly not the way that it worked in our scripture lesson this morning. Today we heard about the call of Andrew and Peter and James and John. It is the same set of people that we heard about last week in the Gospel of John, but a different story. Now you may remember last week how I talked a little bit about how sometimes the same people can remember the same story in a different way. Sometimes your siblings will talk about something that happened back when you were growing up, and you all remember it differently. So we've got two different stories here. This one is very different on the surface anyway from the one we heard last week, but I think there are more similarities than you might think. And the big thing is that they're each trying to get a message across, trying to get a perspective across. And last week, The perspective that John wanted you to know was that Jesus was the Son of God. He had John the Baptist see Jesus along the Jordan River, and he told his disciples to go and talk to him, that he was the Son of God. John wanted you to know who Jesus was. Matthew, on the other hand, wants you to know what Jesus does, how Jesus calls. So the scripture opens by telling us where they are. They're in Capernaum. They are near the Sea of Galilee. But in reality, the spot that they're talking about is just a couple of miles from the Jordan River. So it's totally possible that the way John told the story has some grains of truth in it as well, that they are two stories that are separate, but also the same story told from different perspectives. And in this one, we are in not just along the Sea of Galilee, but in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, Naphtali was known as the Galilee of the Gentiles, and Zebulun was known as the Galilee of the Jews. So here we are, kind of in border country, in an area where it's very diverse, in an area where not everybody has the same background, not everybody has the same socioeconomic status, where not everyone has the same beliefs or belief structure or upbringing, and they're all here. Why? So that a light can be brought before those who are wandering in darkness. And as we know today, Jesus is that light. So Jesus is walking along this Galilee in this very diverse area, and he sees these fishermen. We are told that Peter and Andrew, they're tossing their nets out because they were fishermen, which sounds kind of redundant. Of course, if they're tossing nets out, they're fishermen, right? But in reality, the reason this extra clause has been added is so you'll know they're not just out there fishing for their families, they're commercial fishermen. This is their job. This is what they do for a living. So they are out there at work, and Jesus comes and tells them to follow me. And they do. They up and drop their nets and follow Jesus. He goes a little ways further down, and he comes upon James and John, the sons of Zebedee, their father. Another set of commercial fishermen, and this is a family venture here, a family venture that's two generations. Jesus calls them, and they not only leave their job, they leave their family. Their family, they leave their father right there. And in reality, we also know that Peter left his family. We know he was married because later in Matthew 8, we see them in Capernaum at Peter's house, and his mother-in-law is sick. So clearly, Peter is married, and Jesus heals her. She gets up and serves them. So there's everybody in this story today is not just giving something up. They're giving everything up. They are giving up their livelihood. They are giving up their family. They are giving up everything to go be homeless and wander around this area of Israel and Samaria to preach a gospel that they don't even know what it is yet. They drop everything, leave everything, give up everything to follow Jesus. That's just crazy. But it's also normative about the way that God calls people. If you look throughout the scripture, God is always calling people while they're working. Moses, he's out there guarding the sheep when the burning bush shows up. Gideon is out threshing. Matthew, another disciple that we'll meet later on, is in his tax collector's booth. He is there doing his job. He is called from his work to give it up and to follow Jesus. They're not having it their way. They're following the Lord because the Lord calls them. When I was in college, I was doing the show Cabaret. And I remember vividly, I can see exactly where I was sitting. I can see that I was putting on my makeup before the show and the mirror with the lights around it as I was preparing. And my mother brought me a hamburger so that I would have something to eat before I went on stage. It was so generous and so gracious and so thoughtful of her. And I opened it up and I took a big bite and it had mayonnaise in it. I hate mayonnaise. Anyone who knows me for 5 minutes knows I don't eat mayonnaise. My mother had known me for 18 years at that point. I was not nice. I was so ugly to my mother about how dare she bring me a hamburger with mayonnaise on it. Didn't she remember that I hate mayonnaise? I mean, I was just really not kind. And that weighed on my heart for years, that I was so mean to my mother, who was so generous and so thoughtful and so concerned that I wasn't going to go work without having sustenance. And, you know, I was rude probably as much because I was 18 as anything else, but I was rude. And after carrying this around for almost 20 years, I went and apologized to my mother. She didn't remember it at all. Probably because I was rude to her on many occasions at that time in my life. But it felt so good to be relieved of that, to be forgiven by my mother, to be forgiven by God, but I still carry a little bit of pain about the fact that I was so ugly to someone who loved me so much and who was striving so hard, and I was just not kind. Our second scripture lesson this morning, people are not being kind. They want it their way. This is Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Paul planted this church in Corinth. He was there for 3 years. He really got to know the people well. He baptized their first members. He was the foundational person to plant this church. And now he's gone off and he's planting other churches, and he hears word that people are fighting, that they are quarreling, that they are focused on a variety of different leaders and arguing about who they should follow. Paul opens saying, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters." Now, there's one thing you need to know about the city of Corinth. Corinth was an incredibly diverse community. Incredibly diverse. It was right along the isthmus of Corinth. It was a big seaport up at the top of this hill. There was an incredible amount of travel. You had to go across this isthmus if you were going by land in order to get in, to head toward or from Athens, this or Rome. This was a place that was vitally important in transit routes. It was an incredibly wealthy city, but also had a lot of socioeconomic diversity. And that is also the case within this little church. There are people who are very affluent and people who are not. There are also people who were raised Jewish and people who were not. People who are steeped in the Hebrew scriptures and understand at a snap the foundation of the way of Jesus Christ. And there are people who were raised in any of the other sort of different faith traditions, the many gods, the pantheon of Rome or even other things. And here they are all together, this incredibly diverse group of people who all want what they want. Sound familiar? And Paul says, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters." Now, brothers and sisters was something that the Jewish population would have been really, really used to hearing. That was language that was very much part of their Jewish tradition. It was not language that was part of the Gentile tradition, of the other traditions. So when Paul opens with this way, he is including everyone. It would have sounded right to the Jewish members. But to those who had not been raised in Judaism, it would have been like, oh my gosh, We're brothers and sisters too. We too are included. We who have been excluded from this faith tradition before are now a part of. I appeal to you to be in agreement with one another, to be united with one another. Some of you are saying, I follow Paul. Others are saying, I follow Cephas. I follow Apollos. And there is some commentary thinking he's being a bit facetious when he says, or I follow Christ. You see, Paul, as I told you, planted this church. And so people who loved Paul and wanted to do things Paul's way. And then Apollos came along. And Apollos was a dynamic preacher. Apollos was just an orator, bar none. And there were people who were moved by the power of his preaching, and they loved him. And they wanted to follow Apollos because he was so dynamic and powerful. And then there was Cephas. Now, you know, Cephas is actually Simon Peter, right? So Simon Peter is the only one out of the three of them who actually knew Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He was on the road hearing directly from Jesus. So this group begins to get into factions. They begin to talk about, this is what I want. I want what Apollo brings. I want what Paul brings. I want what Cephas brings. I want to follow them. And Paul is like, no. No. Our job here is to follow Christ. He doesn't just want harmony. He doesn't just want people sitting in worship on a Sunday morning and being present. He wants unity. And this word here for unity is actually a perfect unity. It's hetekatertismenoi, which is words that the medical community used when a bone had been broken and was reset, so that it could knit together. It is broken in Corinth. And he wants them to be in the same mind. And that mind isn't him or Apollos or Cephas. It is one in Christ Jesus. And as I'm sure there are many of you aware, there is tension in this community. There has been tension in this community for long before I ever got here, about what and who we are. And right now, there is dissension going on about, I follow Tony and the music and I love what he does. Or I follow Rebecca and the preaching and I love what she does. And I tell you what, if you are following Tony, if you are following me, then you are following the wrong God. We are here to follow God in Jesus Christ. That is our purpose. And if we are truly willing to do that, guess what, people? This ain't Burger King. You don't get to have it all your way. Everyone needs to be willing to give something up. Because that is what it is to follow God in Jesus Christ. It is to sacrificially give up something that maybe you love, so that all may come to the table and be fed. And that is where we are today. We are in a place where we have a choice of who we are going to follow. And I really hesitate to compare myself to Paul ever, because actually I don't like a lot of what he says a lot of the time. But I agree with him here. Don't follow me. Don't be on my side. I don't have a side. Don't be on Tony's side. He doesn't have a side. Be on the side of Christ Jesus. That is who we are here to worship. That is who we are here to serve. And if we are not willing to give something up, if when Jesus says, what are you willing to give up to follow me? If you say nothing, you're not following the right person. And I charge you, I call you, I plead with you. And I want you to know I'm always preaching to myself. What are you willing to give up so that this community of faith can live out? Live out the dream of being the beloved community that we represent on the surface.